Starting tomorrow, I'm no longer just a shipping clerk. I'm chairman of the board.
And it's all because of...
Freaking.com.
Paging Dr. Canning.
Hello there.
Welcomes.
Yeah, I thought, are you already recording?
I just started the recorder. It looks like it's working.
Okay. Yeah, I missed last week when I was going to, and I might not have a good connection, and I have no good information, so I'll be an audience.
Oh, well, that's okay, because I have an F-bomb ton of information. I was actually thinking about starting this early.
And I haven't grabbed a recording. Have you uploaded the last couple of them?
You know, I missed last week. I logged in at the wrong time by accident, and I'm not sure if anyone was there or not, or what happened. I haven't heard of any recordings.
Yeah, that's one thing that's hard, is that with this kind of recording, you don't know if there was an entire thing that happened without you.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have a list of all your things? Do you have them all sorted?
Oh, this is the New Hampshire Independence podcast, by the way, also known as the New Hampshire Independence Town Hall Meeting, which we have every week. And I started a different recorder here in case I'm getting some weird readings from the official recorder on Jitsi, and Dropbox. So I'm starting a backup recorder, so we will have a recording of what we do, even if it's not perfect. We'll have a backup.
And from my side, it says that you're recording, so I bet it's working.
Okay, good. I'm going to try something different here. Let's see. I'm going to try to crank up your volume a little bit so that I'm not drowning you out on the backup recorder. Yeah, we do have news. And if you can talk for a sec, I'll get a sense of how well we're doing.
One thing I have as a question today, which you might answer later, have we got any sense of when our legislation will be discussed in Concord, in the halls of justice, as it were?
Yeah, justice.
do we know anything yet?
Nothing specific, nothing we didn't know 5 months ago, you know. Okay. Bills tend to be heard initially in January or February. There may be some initial hearings in March. I'm not sure about that. So as far as I know, it could be as late as March, but probably no later. Yeah.
Okay, that was just an emergency because I might be there Friday or so.
Okay.
I am braving the Northeast soon.
I think the most likely thing that will happen, you know, if people are being duplicitous towards us, which the state house does not appear to have done on this issue so far, they seem to be pretty open-handed. But if they were going to start to do something duplicitous, then what they would probably try and do is schedule the hearing at the last minute in some way. That's what they did, you know, when people were starting to attend those executive council meetings with the governor. They started doing things at the last minute. But I don't know if the state house, I've never known the state house to do that with legislation. So that would be a first, I think, to my knowledge.
And because some of our sponsors and friends are included in the process, we should be knowing when that's happening and, you know, and get alerted to last-minute changes and things, right?
Yeah, and I received an email from a member of the committee who will be hearing this, and I'll tell you more about that later. It was interesting.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to go into so much depth on that I probably shouldn't talk about it first because it'll suck all the air out of the room. I'm going to talk about some minor minor quickie things first.
The only other little thing I know is, I don't know if you saw, one of the Democrats was complaining about all the evil things the Republicans are proposing this year. And we were not on the list.
Oh, no.
I read it and I went, this can't be true. And I went back and read it again and I said, they're not even worried about us?
Well, others of them are. There's a lot of others, that are. There's a lot of different, a lot of different caterwauling, mostly from Democrats about this bill. But yeah, it's conceivable, you know, if you start to see a reduction in that, if you start to see them not complaining about it all of a sudden, that would be an indication they have gotten some kind of memo that it's a winning issue that cannot seriously be attacked.
Oh, that could be an answer, yeah.
Maybe. You know, sometimes the wish is father to the thought, but that's kind of what I think. So one thing that has happened, if you remember the one of the key grievances that triggered the New Hampshire independence legislation was, of course, the raid on the Crypto Six in March of 2021, where they attacked, where the federal government sent, armored vehicles through the door of a of New Hampshire's number one talk show or number two talk show, depending on who you talk to. There's news on that, and that is that the talk show's host, Ian Freeman, has now been granted his motion. He's been out on home confinement for a while, and now they're going to let him leave his house.
So he was only able to leave his house by permission before?
Yeah, now he can leave without permission.
Does he still have an ankle bracelet?
I don't know, but probably. I think it's a curfew system that they got him on, so he probably does have to be inside the house at night or something. Like, that's going to make a difference. But
if he's got an ankle bracelet and a curfew, he might be the most COVID-compliant person in America.
Yeah, really, I guess. But it reminds me of the I keep reminding people that our Crypto 6 incident is actually very similar in many ways to the Mladina incident in Slovenia in 1988, I think, which helped lead to Slovene independence 3 years later. The Yugoslav government came after journalists over some stuff they had printed, basically. Mm-hmm. And but there were interesting anecdotes that followed, you know, these arrests and the trial and everything. So they, in Yugoslavia, the situation was a lot better, actually, than what. The way they treated these journalists was a lot better than the way that Ian and his friends have been treated. Because there were six people arrested connected with this raid. Some of them faced life imprisonment, right? But in Slovenia, the Yugoslav government, they were just like, well, can we make them, I don't know, show up for prison once a day for a few hours? and the people were behind the journalists, and the Slovene government reluctantly agreed to prosecute them. I guess the Yugoslav government wasn't even allowed to do a direct prosecution. They were so decentralized that they were using the Slovene government to do it. And so the Slovene government said, okay, yes, you have sentences as long as 4 years, and you're required to come home to jail at night after spending your day wherever you wish.
Yeah, compared to the, every one of the people that lives under the federal U.S. system, there's a lot more fear in federal sentencing.
Yeah, and the one of the guys in Slovenia, the Slovene journalist, he had to, one day he was late getting back to jail, so he had to break into his jail.
Wow.
But we all know how bad the Yugoslav government was, and yet look how much better it treated these people and how much more it followed its own rules compared to what the feds have been doing. So anyway, that's a positive step forward for some of our people, for one of our people anyway. And something else that happened, I guess, yesterday, there was a freedom rally in Concord, which had some, there was something independence related there. I guess, you know, Nurse Therese Grinnell?
Mm-hmm.
So she's in Exeter, and she posted some kind of a video, day before yesterday, shortly before the rally, talking about something she was going to do at the rally related to independence. But that's what it sounded like, but her video got cut off before I got any details as to what she was going to do, so.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything.
So I don't know what she did. Ian Freeman himself was in planning to go to the rally, but I think something happened. His girlfriend couldn't sleep that night, and so she was just too sleepy to go. But he would have been able to go without asking permission.
Yeah, interesting.
So Elliot Axelman, one of the other Exeters over at LibertyBlock.com, is reporting that multiple reps on the committee have already indicated support for the amendment.
Yeah,
for the independence legislation. There's another separate report from someone on Matrix who claims that Susan DeLamis is pledging support for the amendment. Do you know anything about that?
No. And also what would be interesting is, you know, it'd be interesting to find out, do they support, you know, us exiting, or do they just support the idea of us being able to vote about it?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't really even mind. Doesn't even matter to me. As long as they support the right to vote on it, that's enough.
Yeah, it'd just be kind of interesting. And we won't really know that.
In a sense, it's almost more powerful when they're supporting the right to vote on it, even if they're against it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of like, well, it's complicated. But anyway,
well,
Sue DeLamis.
Our worst detractors act like we can't even discuss it. So, yeah, that's the being willing to vote on it is good.
Right. Sue DeLamis claimed, she is on the committee. She's the clerk of the committee. And she's the lady who's, and again, I don't have confirmation that she's supporting the amendment. I just heard someone else posted an email that he said came from her. By a text, I think she like texted him or something saying she was going to support it as written, more or less. That's not exactly how she put it, but that was the impression I got from reading it. Anyway, her husband was arrested by the feds in 2015, roughly, maybe 2016, in connection with his presence at the Bundy Ranch standoff. And so he was SWAT teamed in Rochester, New Hampshire, you know, around 2015, and held for 6 years and just released in November, I think, in bad condition, apparently, from what I understand. And Jerry DeLamis is his name. He was given extra years in jail, I guess, in his sentence, because he tried to change his plea. And anyway, so she's got reason to be unhappy with the feds, but so does the chair of the committee, Al Baldessaro, who was interrogated by the FBI around 2016 for derogatory comments that he made about Hillary Clinton. Which they perceived as threatening.
Yeah, interesting. And he was one of those people pushing against the real ID way back.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's the guy we all met back in 2000. Well, some of us met him in 2005 when we were just first starting to do activism. You know, you, me, Kat Canning, and that original mafia, John Cannell, JP. But we, you know, we were demonstrating at the airport because they were trying to take his land.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And Free Staters helped get him elected, but he's had a sort of an uneven relationship with Free Staters because he's his own man. You know, he's got his own thing going. He's more of a conservative, but but he tends to vote pro freedom, and he's accessible and, you know, chatty and a nice guy. I like him. He's not going to be a knee jerk in anybody's direction, I don't think. He's a Gulf War veteran, so he may have some sort of loyalty to the central government despite its abuse of him, but
yeah.
So let's see, the other thing is that I have gone ahead and written all of these committee members myself. I wrote them initially, just as soon as I heard what committee it was, I just sent a mass mail to the committee. But then I've gone ahead and emailed each of them individually and tried to tailor the notes a little bit. The only rep I heard back from was Brody DeShays. I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly, but I wrote him actually, and he's on the committee, and I asked him if it was true, some of the things that LibertyBlock.com had been reporting about him. I'll just read you our correspondence. I said, quote, according to LibertyBlock.com, you said this. Subquote, federal officials with the backing of the U.S. military, the most well-funded and prepared military in the world, would never allow NH to secede. Unsubquote. Is that true? What actions would you support in stopping the people from voting on independence? Also, is it true that you have refused a challenge to debate from Alu Axelman? Dave Ridley, nhexit.com, independence without enmity, Winchester. Unquote. And so Representative DeShays writes back, quote, Dave, I only stated a fact. The federal government established a precedent in 1861 that it would forcibly prevent states from unilaterally seceding. There is no constitutional process for mutual or unilateral secession, and therefore it is unconstitutional. I explained the constitutional arguments against secession in my letter. State lawmakers cannot legally enable voters to vote on secession. If voters even approve the amendment, which they wouldn't, then state lawmakers still wouldn't be allowed to fulfill the vote's motive. It would violate Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. State and federal lawmakers swear an oath to uphold the NH and U.S. Constitution. An overwhelming number of lawmakers in both parties will be voting against illegal secession. They will be upholding their oaths. I understand this does not bode well for your political movement. However, we live in a republic with rules, laws, and precedents. State lawmakers will not be throwing away our Constitution for your political movement. Have a happy and secession-free 2022. Best, Brody DeShays, State Representative, Wolfboro, New Hampshire. Unquote. Hey, by the way, well, go ahead.
Well, that's very interesting because some people in the legislature next to him think that some parts of the New Hampshire Constitution even lend themselves to this movement.
Oh, well, they obviously do, and I doubt he would argue against that. I don't know how you could, because you've got Article 10 and all that other stuff. right, the revolution and whatnot. But actually, can you do me a favor? If I'm while I read the text of some of these long things, you may want to mute your mic because you're getting a lot of car noise. But while you're talking right now, you probably should leave it your mic on. Okay. But
okay, sounds good.
But I don't even buy the idea that it. I don't even think this violates the U.S. Constitution. And his arguments didn't strike me as very impressive. I mean. But yeah, you know, since when were all these government people all about the Constitution, right?
Yeah, that is interesting. And yeah, it's not even like everybody that all of his fellow legislators don't all have the same opinion of what that Constitution means. And, you know, obviously other people don't think this is impossible and it would never be, you could never even consider it. He also seems to be taking one side of it. He really doesn't like the idea of a secession also. Since he's offering us a secession-free holidays, that's... Well, he was right. We did not secede during the holidays. He predicted the future.
Well, he wrote a long letter. I think it went to the other committee members and the rest of the state house. And I would like to read, I'm going to try to read his whole letter at some point during the call. It may be that what I should do is just read that after we've lost you, because you don't really need to be there to sit and listen to the whole letter. So I may just read that once you've had to leave. But it, you know, it's an interesting letter. And again, I appreciate it. So I'll go ahead and read the rest of our correspondence here, I guess, between me and him. So after he sent me that letter, I said, unless you had anything you wanted to add, Russell?
Nope.
So I sent him a note. Again, this is on December 31st, 2021. Quote, thank you, Brody, for engaging with my questions as opposed to just ignoring them. Slovenia and Estonia were supposedly forbidden from independence as well. Now they have it. Because, like us, they had central governments which went too far. Someday, we will have independence too, or the feds can always prevent it by making sure they do not further provoke the people. Are you sure you are with them, their vaccine mandates, and Afghanistan torture chambers, rather than us? Unquote.
And so that's what you wrote him. Have you heard back from that?
So again, to his credit, he even responded to the response, and he said, quote, sorry, Dave, the U.S. Constitution is established upon a more perfect union. Breaking apart the union would undermine the U.S. Constitution. I'll stick with what we got and work within constitutional government to return rights to the people rather than live in anarchy. Again, all my best and enjoy the new year, unquote.
Uh-oh, he just triggered me. Whenever I hear anarchy, I get excited.
Apparently living in New Hampshire under a state government is anarchy.
Okay, so we're joined by Ian Freeman. Welcome, Ian.
Howdy, y'all.
We even talked about you behind your back, so you'll have to listen to the recording.
Ian, do you want to update us at all about your? I just reported earlier here on the podcast about your about the ruling in your favor that you now can leave your house without permission. You want to tell us more?
I mean, that's really about all there is to say. Now I'm on a curfew restriction instead of a quote unquote home confinement. So I have to be home by 11 o'clock at night every night, which is actually a little bit later than the people in Quebec.
Interesting. So our very own political prisoner is freer than the average person in Quebec.
Yeah, basically.
Well, I guess officially, I mean, depends on how we count you. If you still count as a political prisoner, I guess we're down to just two New Hampshire political prisoners now that I can name. That would be you and Ed Brown.
Nobody is also on heavy restrictions. The former candidate for governor from the year 2020, he is not allowed to speak publicly. on his bail restrictions. And Aria Demezzo, as well as the rest of the Crypto Six, are also on restrictions, although myself and Nobody are the two most heavily restricted of the six.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what we count as a political prisoner. I mean, certainly you, I think I, you counted as long as you were on home confinement. Maybe you still count. Maybe all of them count.
Yeah, all of our liberties have been restricted in one way or another, and it's all political. So, yeah, we're definitely currently political prisoners in New Hampshire. I cannot spend cryptocurrency, use cryptocurrency. I have monitoring software on my cell phone and my laptop. And again, I'm restricted from where I can travel. I can't leave the state, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I was just telling Russell that the, you guys are very similar to the Slovene political prisoners of 1988 who were arrested, the journalists that were arrested 3 years before Slovenia attained its independence. And you guys are being treated far worse, actually, than those four were.
Yeah, well, at least they didn't shoot my dog.
And as a side note, Dave, this week on Twitter, national divorce was trending amongst libertarian circles. And one person brought up, well, we can't do that. That's too crazy. Because look what happened with the Balkans. And I wanted to point them to you so you could talk to them about it for a few hours.
Yeah. Yeah, the Balkans, the Balkans beat Slobodan Milosevic. And Slovenia is independent, Croatia is independent, Bosnia is independent, Kosovo is independent. I mean, and this one worked out a lot worse than the Soviet, independence drive. But I tell you what, I was just thinking earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, in Yugoslavia, people tried everything. The list is just endless. They had their own Gandhi in the form of Ibrahim Rugova in Kosovo. They had, they had an honorable short war in Slovenia, which was successful. They had a successful and not honorable war in Croatia. They had massive protests, by Serbians that almost unseated Slobodan Milosevic on their own before the war even started. They tried everything, right? Independence was their last resort.
Yeah, interesting. And then, so I had people, we had people acting like also that New Hampshire shouldn't be trying to do this because it's too soon and we'll lose our one chance, I thought, in our lifetime. And then I also saw people saying, if New Hampshire tries to secede and we don't make it this year, we'll have the same fate as Quebec and Scotland.
Wow, that sounds really terrifying.
I know, I almost pointed out to them, well, according to Dave Ridley and Jason Sorens, that's one of the preferable outcomes.
Yeah, I mean, Quebec and Scotland have gotten what they wanted, from their independence drives to a large extent.
Yeah, if that was the worst thing that happened to us, is that we ended up like Scotland for another 10 years or something. You know what? I don't know why that was such a horrible idea. I see that we also have one other person on the call. If that person wants to say hi and join, they're welcome to. If they want to just remain silent, that's fine too. But just so you know that you don't have to have a special introduction. What's your next item, Dave?
So I think I was going to read that entire letter from Representative Deshays. However, I wasn't going to read it yet. There were a couple more things to get to. Talk among yourselves while I'm stalling.
Are you still there, Ian? He might not be there anymore.
No, I'm here. Howdy.
Okay. Dave and I started early. He has a lot of stuff he was going to cover. I missed the last couple times of these. And did something happen last week that I should know about or that I'll grab a recording of?
I don't think I was here last week either. I'm kind of in and out of these based on what I've got going on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
But I know that there are people who are contacting the legislators. So far, I got some feedback from one gentleman who was visiting here in Keene last night. He's a real doer with the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. He reported that he has contacted all of the state reps, so not just the ones on the committee, but he managed to use, I guess, Alu's database of all the state rep emails and shot off emails to every single one of them. And he said that he just did it a couple days ago, so he's only heard back from 7 of them. But you know, 7 of them wrote him back over the holiday. And he says that almost all of them, I guess, or all of them have been very cowardly type responses where they don't support secession, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I said, well, how many of them actually realize that they're not voting on secession? And so he does intend to, you know, try to continue to converse with the 7 that have responded. But so far, it sounds like a large number of these state reps have absolutely no conceptualization that a vote for this particular bill is not a vote for secession, but instead a vote for allowing people to vote. And so that's something that I think is going to need to be...
Yeah, because they're voting to allow an amendment to be voted on.
Yeah. But these guys apparently don't get that.
Yeah, that's interesting. It kind of reminds me back in my days in California how sometimes you had those propositions that would come up, and some were, you know, not very important, and some were very important. And you would meet people on the streets that would have the exact backwards idea of what a proposition was going to do. You know, it's sometimes hard to do that, and even with these state reps, they might not be clear on the concept. Yeah, because the wording is just saying that, you know, especially like you're trying to point out to some of them, just allowing a Democratic vote.
Yeah, I have personally not heard back from any of the... I've only emailed the reps that are on the committee at this point, and I have not gotten a single response from them. However, I believe Alu received a response from Susan DeLemus, who I'm sure Dave is well aware that she's the wife of Jerry DeLemus, the person who the federal government put in prison for half a decade for basically going down to the Nevada ranchers back in 2014 or whenever it was. So her husband got put away by the feds, and not surprisingly, she is in favor of this bill. So she's the secretary of the committee, and from what I can tell, she's the first person on the committee to come out in favor of it. So that bodes pretty well, I would say, for, you know, its chances to have somebody who's a ranking member of the committee supporting it. So that's somewhat optimistic, but so far none of the committee members have responded to my email.
Now, I wonder if people look up your name online and find out that you're considered a domestic terrorist by the federal government, so then they're like, uh-oh, I can't respond to this guy. I'll be a co-conspirator.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? Because like that other guy saying that a lot of them are cowardly. They're not even like really just opposing you or supporting. They're just acting like, I don't want to think about this.
Right.
We're not supposed to talk about these kinds of things. You know, there's just like some things which aren't supposed to be discussed.
Yeah.
Just like on the state level, some people act like we can't even discuss shrinking parts of the government.
Right.
You know, okay, let's just shave 5% off of this one area. No, you can't even talk about that. It's funny how there's such a difference of opinions about what we can discuss. So
we're going to need to get as many people to show up at this hearing as possible. I know Alu has not been happy with the number of people who've been contacting the reps, at least that he's been made aware of. So more people need to contact the reps. We still don't have a date for the actual hearing at this point, so we don't know when to rally the troops at this point. So we got to keep our eyes open.
Yeah, because I will be active in pushing, you know, rallying the troops. I don't want to contact reps. since none of them represent me and that sort of thing, so that's not my thing. But other guys can do that. But I am very eager to promote and try to be around for any of the hearings and things like that. So.
Right.
If things go a certain way this weekend, I will attempt to, next weekend, I will attempt to be there at Social Sundays and can discuss NH Exit next week.
Cool.
I will let people know that if I'm making it there, then I'll be telling them I'll be at Social Sundays and I want to talk about NH Exit.
Excellent.
But yeah, that's one thing, you know, not knowing what's the next, you know, next thing going to be. And then right now, just kind of just have a little bit of info as we go along here. Dave had other items that I think he's sorting through that he's going to cover. And then he's going to read the rest of that letter. Yep. So I don't know what else he has. And I see that we got joined by another person who might want to speak or just lurk, which is fine.
Welcome, Chris.
Hi.
Anything to add?
Not really. Just listening in at the moment.
Well, I can always jawbone. And Ian's pretty good at it, too. So there was I did get on the air. I've got, you know, I've been calling, as usual, I've been getting on the air about on talk radio about twice a week with New Hampshire Independence. But this week, or I guess last week, I had an unusual success. And you know, Howie Carr's producer, Grace Curley, I got on her show a few days ago.
How did it go? What was her response?
It was very short. You know, I just basically told her we had independence legislation. And it was connected to what she was talking about, you know, some of the latest federal abuse that she was powerless to stop. I just mentioned that we had independence legislation. And all she just said, wow, Dave, that's pretty extreme. And then I was done. But it doesn't matter, you know, because now all her listeners that were on the line at that point or on the show or listening to the show at that point know about the amendment. So that was a step forward. I thought her show would be a lot harder to get on.
Did you get to drop in CACR 32 into the mix?
Nah, no one's going to remember that. They're going to remember independence.
All right. Or at least always,
they've got their gook foo.
Ian, what is the number again?
CACR 32.
Okay, gotcha.
Currently, there's no date for the hearing. I just checked the website just now, so we're still waiting on a date. I guess what they're gonna do is introduce it in the committee this week, and I presume that's when they will set the date. So we may know by Wednesday or Thursday this week, because it's set for introduction on Wednesday. The 5th.
For those listening, looks like we have, I guess, about 5 participants currently in the meeting. Anyone else? I have more news. Anyone else want to add something before I go to my additional news? Actually, news probably isn't the best word for it. Representative DeShays, in his objections, constitutional objections to this legislation, mentioned something that I thought was interesting. He cited the 14th Amendment, the United States Constitution, and it's just interesting. What strikes me as so interesting is when you look at the objections, the constitutional objections that they're making against us, they're very vague, right? Like, and they refer to sections of the Constitution that aren't really necessarily talking about this, right? Like, so because his passage was from the Constitution, quote, "No person shall be a senator or representative in Congress, or elector of president and vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state, who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or a judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But unquote. I mean, of course, that's a real mouthful for the U.S. Constitution, right? Normally it's understandable. I mean,
so hold on a second. Isn't there a huge flaw in this? Doesn't the New Hampshire state constitution predate the United States Constitution? So what's the basis for the U.S. Constitution being above the state constitution?
It's just pure fantasy on the parts of the people that love the empire.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking about as he was reading that is what we're at. He's referencing an amendment of the Constitution. And what we're proposing is amending the Constitution.
Well,
are we allowed to
amend, yeah,
are we allowed to amend the
national Constitution? Yeah, so you're right about that, Russell, but he's citing the national Constitution. And
to me, it's the basic concept, too. I mean, he's quoting something that wasn't even in the original Constitution for the national. I mean, does he oppose amendments to constitutions?
Yeah.
Period. So obviously, he likes amendments to constitutions.
When you look at this, it's like, yeah, does that prevent independence? I don't know. But when you compare that to the 10th Amendment, which obviously authorizes independence, when it says the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor denied by it to the states or reserved to the states respectively or to the people. I think that's an exact quote.
Yeah,
and that's authorizing states to do anything they want as long as the Constitution doesn't.
I mean, it,
which means they're authorizing secession.
The states joined especially the colonies. They joined in with the creation of the United States in the first place.
Right. The Constitution only regulates joining the Union. It does not speak to exiting the Union. And so, as you point out, Dave, the 10th Amendment, and this is what Alu pointed out in his response to Deshaies on libertyblock.com, is the 10th Amendment secures anything that's not in the Constitution to the states. So clearly we have the right to say goodbye. We don't have to ask permission.
And none of us, you know, on this call swore an oath to the U.S. Constitution. So if the Constitution says we're supposed to do terrible things, we are not beholden to continue doing terrible things. You know, we could rebel if we wanted to, but I do not believe we are rebelling.
We have a right to revolution too, right? Like in our documents.
Yep, that's the 10th Amendment to the New Hampshire Constitution is the right to revolution, and then also the New Hampshire Constitution Article 7, which is very strong in that way as well. That's the self-governance. One, if I don't have it in front of me right now, but that's why we chose to amend the New Hampshire Constitution Article 7 instead of going with Article 10, because it's just it ties right in with the whole idea of independence of a state. It's right there.
Yeah, I mean, we are beholden to the state of New Hampshire's constitution above the United States Constitution, because it's only our own constitution that authorizes or would authorize, you know, taking part in some other greater body anyway.
But yeah, I mean, I always like to say too, you know, like, again, even if what we were doing was unconstitutional, and I doubt it,
it's irrelevant. You know,
when, like, of the following things, which of the things has the United States government not done? Genocide of the natives, concentration camps, being at war with someone 90% of the time since the founding, running the world's highest per capita prison population, making a list of forbidden acts, which is a million pages long, running a torture chamber at their airbase, in Afghanistan and following their constitution. Which of these did they not do?
I think the hypocrisy, just pointing out the, I think the best response to you can't leave because it's illegal is pointing out the hypocrisy of that, given that the United States, the colonies left, you know, Great Britain in the first, you know, they declared illegally, you know, independence from Great Britain. So we're just doing the same thing that, you know, the foundation of the United States, or the colonies at least, you know, did back in the day.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't even think we're doing that. I think we're doing something that's actually completely lawful, or at least completely constitutional.
Well, but the point is that even if it isn't, it doesn't matter. I mean, because it would be hypocritical for anybody who supports the United States to say we can't leave, given that the United States was created based on a Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, can you imagine all the oaths that George Washington swore to the crown before he rebelled and then became a president of a whole other country?
Right, exactly.
The Irish Parliament in roughly 1922 was forced, every member of the Parliament was forced to swear an oath, King George. You know how many minutes it took them to become independent after that? I don't know how many minutes, but it was measured almost in minutes, right? It was not very long.
Yeah, it is funny the variety of responses we get to the idea of independence.
All right, so Once everyone has run out of things to talk about, I will read the entire letter from Representative Deshaies in the spirit of giving our opposition a full platform and transparency. But does anyone else have anything they wanted to let us know before I do that?
Is this the same letter that was posted to Liberty Block the other day?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we read it on the air and actually read Alu's responses and discussed it this week on Free Talk Live. I just want to say Alu did an incredible job responding to that. So anyone who hasn't read that article should definitely get over to libertyblock.com and check it out.
Yeah, I did the same thing on Freedom Decrypted. It was a great article.
Okay, so you actually read the entire letter on Free Talk Live?
And Alu's responses, plus our comments.
Okay, you know what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to redo your work then. What day did you do that so people can find your archive?
Let me take a look.
Okay. So you would go to freetalklive.com and then click on their archives link, and then you'll just find the day when Free Talk Live talked about this, and you can hear the whole letter that way instead of...
Okay, Dave. So now we can pretend that you just read it. Does anybody want to rant and rave in response to it?
I already did that.
Oh, okay, because I haven't read it, so I don't know what it says.
The 30th of December, the 30th is the show, so that would be Thursday's show. Toward the end of the show, probably like the last hour, basically. Or the last hour and a half, probably.
Okay, so December 30th, just go to freetalklive.com, look for December 30th, and you'll be able to read the whole letter. I really do, by the way, I mean, I meant it when I told Representative Deshaies that I really appreciated his open-handedness, and he has been very good about responding, and he's not...
Yeah, we need a good foil.
You know, he's not being disrespectful to anyone. He's not dismissing this. He's making an argument that I think he believes in. He's a Republican, by the way, so it's sad to have a Republican against this.
Not a surprise, but, you know, though, those people that want the federal government, because he probably has his eyes on being in the federal government. That's probably what his motivations are.
Possible. You know, and it was funny, when I was writing this letter to him, I was starting to say, yeah, like, what exactly would they have to do to make you change your mind? Like, would they have to open a concentration camp? And then I realized, oh, they've already done that, right? Would they have to open a torture chamber? Oh, they've already done that. There was nothing I could name, a first strike with nuclear weapons. They've done all this stuff already, right? So we can't even name anything. We can't even name some new abuse
fictitiously that would be worse than what they've already done.
Yeah, it is interesting in his case that he's giving us his reasons and stuff like that, and that's helpful.
Yeah, interestingly, so far we've seen very little media coverage beyond the letters to the editor and the editorial in the Keene Sentinel. The Sentinel had that front page article a month or so ago, but since the bill number's been assigned, there's been basically silence in the mainstream media. So we may not get any coverage on this until the actual hearing, if we can blow that up with attendees.
The other thing that's interesting is that the only coverage like that is attacking a specific person who's sponsoring it.
Mm-hmm.
It's showing how irresponsible they are for daring to even sponsor something like this.
Well, I don't know. When I'm searching every week roughly, I will take a look, you know, keyword search, you know, New Hampshire Independence, in other words like that. And I'm seeing usually about three or four new articles per week, so it's not exactly what I'd call silence. We haven't really broken into the really big press yet.
Hey, whenever you find something, Dave, if you can post it, that would be great.
Yeah, that's the reason I look, is so I can post it. So there's a thread on forum.shiresociety.com called media coverage or NH Independence media coverage, something like that. And yeah, like I said, there's 50 posts there, and there must be 100 media articles listed there already. So it's not, you know, I mean, it's not as much as we'd like, but it's not bad. Mm. Ultimately, you know, if we've got Al Jazeera here, that probably means something terrible has happened, right? So in a sense, it's good they're not. It's good that the BBC is not here yet. I don't know. But at some point, that's probably what's going to happen, is we'll have the major media.
I see your posts in the last couple of weeks. There's not really anything as far as like news stories. There's a couple letters to the editor. Looks like yours got posted, Chris Wade. In the Concord Monitor, so you posted that one, and then there's an editorial or an opinion piece in the Union Leader, so I guess that's probably the biggest thing in the last couple weeks. Oh, and it looks like that link is dead, so they took that down or something. Oh, no, it's just it's a paywall, so that's what's blocking me there.
For a letter to the editor?
Your letter to the editor, Concord Monitor, got posted. That was back in September. So Dave just found it and posted it to the thread.
I've written like three letters to the editors to different papers. I don't know what got published. I'm only aware of at least one or maybe two that got published, but maybe they all got published for all I know.
I've sent two. The first one did get published in the Keene Sentinel. The second one was recent. That was just a couple weeks ago. I sent one to the Sentinel, and it looked like they suppressed it because I didn't see, as of a week later, I definitely couldn't find a copy of it that they'd published. And this was, you know, this is one of those things where it was a direct response to their editorial. It wasn't like I was talking about some new subject or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, you know, I think we are going to see that. We're going to see our letters get suppressed, and the opposition letters will get let through. I mean, this is just part of the process, and that's what we expected.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible, you know, I could be missing something. They might have printed it in the last couple of days or whatnot, but it's been held for a long time. And they never, you know, I sent it to the Monitor as well. I sent a shorter version, and we'll see if that prints.
Oh, did anyone go to the thing in Concord yesterday? We weren't able to make it, unfortunately, and it sounded like a lot of people bailed on it. So I was just curious if anyone here went to it.
Therese went and she posted something about it beforehand, and her post had something to do with New Hampshire independence. It sounded like she was going to bring it up at the event or something like that. But her message got cut off. Her voice message got cut off before she made clear what she was going to do related to independence at the event.
Do any of you guys have news of other state independence stuff that's come up lately? I mostly see stuff about Oregon counties talking about joining Idaho. But that's always interesting to me, but kind of seems like small potatoes compared to us. Leaving the U.S.
I just realized that I have a calendar notice that's on my personal calendar to remind me about this meeting, but I'm going to go ahead and move that to the Keene Activism calendar, and then it'll show up on the New Hampshire Liberty calendar, so that might get us a few extra attendees.
Oh, we didn't already have it on the calendar?
No, I was saying it was on my personal calendar, so I'm going to move it to the Keene Activist calendar. Unless you're saying it's already there, but I don't see it there, so...
No, yeah, I'm not saying it was there, but...
Yeah, and I have a good, I have an nhexit.org, calendar that has that kind of stuff on it. But yeah, it doesn't show up on there, so yeah, that's good.
There, with regard to the Texas Nationalist Movement, I've been listening to their YouTube channel. They have a podcast, every week or roughly or something like that. And Daniel Miller hosts it. He's the president of the TNM, and he is a lot of fun to listen to. I don't really agree with him about a lot of things, but. That is one charismatic character, and I think he's running for lieutenant governor. This is someone to watch who may be a major figure in American politics in the future if he survives.
Yeah, that's his news thing, is that in this last month he declared running for lieutenant governor. I don't know how that works in Texas. And maybe that'll give him another platform. I think he did that in response to a bunch of people begging him to do that, instead of just doing the Texas National Movement. And then, of course, obviously, that probably is his major issue, right, is how Texas would be better if it was separate. So that's good. Oh, and the other thing is, one of the Calexit groups, Yes California, the guys that we've been working with, are kind of having a splinter right now. Yeah. One of the guys that started it is now in Arkansas, and talking about how the commies in California are going to be bad, and then the other guys are regrouping. Have you guys seen any of that?
Yeah, that's what started the conversation on Thursday night. Was
good.
Louis Marinelli from Calexit, who is the founder of it, and he's always seemed like a bit of a loose cannon. He's the guy that moved to Russia not long after founding Calexit. And the other guy had a falling out, and so there's a schism there. And we pointed out that the New Hampshire exit movement doesn't have this problem because we already have three different nhexit.whatever websites run by three different people, so we're already decentralized.
It's almost like they didn't anticipate that being a possibility, and they were trying to have a big organization where, like, I always keep joking, if, like, the Foundation for New Hampshire Independence gets too bad, then we'll just have to cut them loose, right? If they move to the outskirts of Washington D.C., then we know they're dead to us. So right,
co-opted.
But that's the thing is, with us, we're already on the fringes of the political system. We don't have all that stuff and whoever's the most exciting group will attract lots of people to them. But yeah. We have to be able to cut ties with any group that starts doing something horrible, like being violent, right?
Or being boring. Be like water.
Yeah, because they do that. And we know we're going to, you know, as we get successful, we know we're going to be infiltrated by Fed people. So we have to be able to cut loose the groups that get taken over by the Feds. It has to be an option.
It's kind of like back in 2004 when we did that UN flag burn and the Free State Project people couldn't believe we were talking about that on their web forum. So you guys just, you know, you and Kat just formed a new web forum, right? And it became more active than the Free State forum. And
yep. And now the web forum is gone.
Yeah, everybody plays, everybody wins.
Yeah, And in our current situation, I don't see how that's a bad thing for us to have a bunch of different groups. I mean, I don't know if you guys know, the reason I started doing NHXit stuff last November was because I could do that without stepping on anybody's toes and nobody would be mad at me for doing it. You know, I can promote NHXit without, you know, ruining any organization. So that was appealing to me. And I can promote a non-violent New Hampshire exit in good conscience, and then I can cut ties with anybody that wants to go violent on it and stuff like that. But other than that, I don't think there'll be any problems. So you guys already covered that on that same show. And we'll see what happens. Obviously, there's other, you know, like the Calexit guys, I mean, the Yes California guys were pointing out that they were not the only Calexit group. Some of the other Calexit and West Coast groups, I've had to cut loose on Twitter because they're too communist. I just can't do it, you know. I try to be friendly to all these groups like Quebec and Scotland and the Cape Town guys that want to secede. Have you seen them? So I have ties with a bunch of these groups on Twitter, but some of the ones from the West Coast of the United States are so communist that the stuff they spend all their time talking about the minimum wage and stuff like that and UBI, not secession. So I finally have had to say to a couple of them, I have to stop following you because I can't have a post every day talking about some communist thing, you know.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's kind of annoying about the NHXit chat is that there's, you know, pretty much an open moderation policy. So there seems like a lot of kind of conservatives posting in there just randomly.
Yeah, we've had that. It's kind of hard because if we're going to be successful at all, we're going to start attracting those kind of people.
That's true.
But then they don't want to talk about secession. They want to talk about, you know, Biden versus Trump or
whatever issue.
Whatever's in the news, you know. And then we're like, okay, well, that's kind of nice. But just like the NHXit group on Facebook right now is, you know, I'll get posts in there. I don't even know what these guys are talking about because what does this have to do with, you know, is the federal government any crummy? What should we do in Hampshire? Though sometimes it's just kind of conservative stuff.
I've been unable to actively use the NHXit Facebook group very effectively for a while now because after I post about three things, like I'll post something and then I'll share it with three other groups and then Facebook just shuts me down and says you're blocked, and I don't even know what's going on. And,
okay, I just have noticed you've done less stuff, but you're physically being stifled.
Well, I don't know why. Eventually I can get back in, but it's complicated. And, you know, obviously we're all making our orderly retreat from Facebook as time goes by.
Yeah, exactly.
They're censoring stuff that's like from people that is not even like controversial. This is going to sound crazy. We found a distribution that was censored on Google today. I'm like, why? Like, you know, when I've heard of like Telegram, I think was
was and a bunch of decentralized tools were actually threatened to get kicked off of Google if they didn't start censoring. And we're talking about like even like programs that were just generic programs like IRC clients or, you know, things of that nature that allowed you to connect to servers, but they weren't even linking to any particular server. So it's like it's crazy.
I think we're moving in a direction where the system is expecting us to all be politically correct in all of our dealings with all people at all times.
And they're expecting us to enforce. They're expecting us to enforce it on others. I mean, that's crazy. Google forcing another organization to censor people.
Yeah.
Well, also, didn't you run into this thing where the federal government last week was telling corporations to follow CDC, you know, follow guidelines that the CDC hadn't even passed yet? Like they're saying, you know, you need to push these mandates and don't wait for the CDC to come out with their study. So they want these companies to do their dirty work even without even any research being completed now. They just send their intentions of what they want to have done, and they want companies to do it. And I guess some of them are doing it. So the tentacles of the federal government are going everywhere. And Dave Ridley and I are hacking at the limbs of them wildly.
Well, I will say that I am happy to see that there is some pushback going on in New Hampshire, like with businesses and things like that, you know. And I don't know if it's so much censorship stuff, but it's, you know, like businesses being told what to do. Some of them are pushing back with masks and things like that. And
finally,
you know, not enforcing stuff. Some are, but some are not. So,
and some of them are putting it out on Front Street. They literally have signage on their doors, letting people know, hey, we're not going to enforce this shit.
Yeah.
You know, there's also an event in Manchester. I may have already mentioned it, but it was about a month and a half ago, maybe mid-November of 2021. Where it reminded me of some of the stuff that the Kosovar Albanians were doing against the Serbian government back in the, you know, early 90s before the wars. They had their own parallel system, basically parallel system of education and healthcare. And when they were dominated by Serbia, and the folks in Manchester were, so they are trying to develop pick up an alternative economy, an alternative healthcare type system. I don't know what's come of this. I don't know what URL to send you to, but there apparently was a fairly big meeting at Murphy's in either Manchester or Bedford, one of the Murphy's.
Well, I think we can all agree that These are good things to be hearing and seeing people do. You know, we need more solutions to, you know, things like healthcare and, you know, and not just healthcare, but just everything, right? I mean, from barbers to healthcare to restaurants, we need everything. Because, you know, if we don't have it, you know, then we're gonna end up in situations where, you know, we're kicked out of places or, you know, we're hindered from just, you know, doing stuff on our own, you know?
And I'm still amazed at how many people are oblivious to what's coming when we have it, you know, if you were just living in Canada, how much worse it would be.
Yeah.
I was just listening to a podcast of guys talking about these kind of issues in the north of England, and I'm hearing what they have to put up with and going, oh, wow, we don't have that. So, you know, it's, and in my travels, I was in Oregon a little while ago, and it was shocking. Oregon was worse than California for the mask compliance and stuff like that, and it's just sad seeing all the people. I crossed over the border from Idaho to Oregon, and suddenly half the people are, you know, it's just scary. And then when we left and got down to Northern California, it actually was a tiny bit better. And there were a couple places I couldn't eat at, in a couple restaurants I couldn't go into in Oregon. So that's the first time I've been rejected in a while. But then we found other restaurants that just, I think the other restaurants we went into just pretended they didn't see anything.
Nothing, I see nothing.
So, and then now I'm back in the Midwest, you know, right now, and you know, there's hardly anything happening. So it's still such a strange mixture out there. Well, I don't have any more news. How's everybody else? Did we finally run out of your stuff, Dave?
I can probably read this to an empty chamber if need be. I have one more thing, which is just I was just going to read my letter to the editor, and I don't know that you guys need to be on the line to hear it. I can read it, and you can stay and respond if you wish, or I can just read it to the podcast audience.
Yeah, when you do that, I'll just listen. Do other people have something they were going to say, or
if that's it, I'll probably go. But yeah, I would encourage you to read it. I think it was great. If there's people watching this video, I presume somebody's recording this and it'll be published. It's definitely something I think it's worth listening to for anybody who hasn't already, you know, heard, you know, the Free Talk Live discussion or read the article.
Thanks, Chris. All right, I shall fill the space. I'll go ahead and read the letter. And thanks to all of you for being here, if I don't see you at the end of the call. okay, so yeah, there was an editorial, as mentioned before, in the Keen Sentinel against the independence referendum, where they called it frivolous, which apparently it is not, since all these people are panicking over it. But let's see, a quote, NH independence referendum, let the people vote, LTE. Dear editors at the Sentinel, this is a response to your editorial against the New Hampshire Independence Amendment, which, if passed, would let all NH citizens vote in a referendum on whether we continue to be ruled by Washington. Why do you think this issue should be decided by dead war criminals rather than your neighbors, arguably acting within the rules laid out in the U.S. Constitution? Though silent on independence, it reads, the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states or reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Well, here we are trying to peaceably exercise those powers through the state house. Then the polls. What's there to be against other than DC and its enablers in the press? Sorry to be so blunt. The Sentinel seems to be one of the few papers that still has some independence and front page editorial separation. You deserve respect for the fact that I can say this without likelihood you will suppress the letter. But ultimately, it's questionable when a proposed vote on who should govern where is treated as forbidden and shocking. But starting five wars since 2011 is just business as usual. Write your congressman, vote for a different chicken hawk. Don't color outside the lines. Don't imitate the successful Estonian or Gandhian independence drives. The Washington Empire, like Moscow and London before it, has made independence look good by abusing the people who live under its domination. It has turned most New Hampshireites against the central government, which has an approval rating hovering somewhere between that of syphilis and leprosy. But an informal September poll by the state's largest paper showed support for the Independence Amendment at 71%. If DC didn't want an independence drive in New Hampshire, it wouldn't have shut down four square blocks of residential Keene just to put a drone through the window of America's number 25 talk show. It would not have exacerbated shortages by demanding most New Hampshireites submit to medical experimentation as a condition of employment. it would not have used our tax dollars to run a torture chamber at Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan. Google these Fed crimes and explain to us again why you think rule by Washington is more desirable than rule by Congress. Best, Dave Ridley, nhexit.com, Manchester. Unquote.
Yeah, that's a good one. Well, the last thing I'd like to say on this podcast, and unlike that Republican politician, I am wishing you a happy separatist holidays next year. And maybe we can ring in 2023 in an independent country of New Hampshire.
NH-free 2023. Happy independence-friendly new year to you too, Russell.
Thank you. Russell, signing out.
Ridley, signing out. You can find more of these podcasts and stuff at nhexit.org, as well as a million different ways to communicate with us. We're everywhere now. Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Telegram, it's Matrix, it's Mastodon. I think it's everywhere now. So drop by nhexit.org to connect with at least some of us.
Adios.
Okay, bye, guys.
What are you arresting this man for?
You've seen the dramatic liberty arrests in Keene, New Hampshire. Now see 111 reasons why you should move there and reinforce these gutsy activists. Keene's advantages are compelling, and the list of reasons to move has just been updated. For details, visit freekeene.com.